Marcus, look at my screen. The tech word is absolutely on fire today.
Let me guess, the public beta of WSocial just launched in Brussels.
Yes, Europe's grand answer to Silicon Valley. Led by the former head of privacy at eBay, it was supposed to be our sovereign savior. But less than a week in, the open source community is completely tearing it apart.
Already? What is the main battleground?
To create a profile, you are forced to verify your identity with your physical passport. Privacy nerds are losing their minds. They say it completely kills digital anonymity for activists and whistleblowers. It feels like a corporate nightmare.
But look at the infrastructure layer, Sarah. AI-driven bot armies and automated troll networks are ruining the internet. WSocial is taking a brutal, deeply pragmatic step. If every account requires a verified cryptographic human token, the bots drop to zero. It's a high wall, but it builds a real room for actual humans.
A human room or a closed-source commercial trap? Today we are looking under the hood of European independence. This is Sarah's Tech, and we are dissecting the consumer chasm. Let's roll! Welcome to Sarah's Tech Season 1, Episode 6. Today we are looking at the consumer chasm.
The consumer abyss.
Exactly. We will tear down the cloud paradox. We look at the total betrayal of Silicon Valley. And we talk about the massive fight over WSocial. Grab your coffee. This is going to be wild.
What?
And we have a song for you at the end, called Sarah's Tech. But let's focus. Look, I am in some European cloud dashboard.
That sounds like a bit frustrated. What's up?
I just wanted to spin up a small test environment. But the user interface is awful. It feels like a tax form. From 1998. There is zero joy here. It is pure bureaucracy.
That is the ghost of 1982, Sarah. It is the classic European IT tradition. Others call it boring German.
What do you mean?
Look back at the home computer boom. The US built the Apple II or the Commodore 64. Steve Jobs called it the bicycle for the mind.
Right. Technology for the individual. Tools to make us better.
Exactly. So what did Europe do? We built mainframes for government agencies and big corporates. Or look at the French Minitel. It was a massive state project. We always think about technology from the institution's perspective, never the individual. Which is a bit sad because the computer was invented by Konrad Zuse. We have a museum here, Konrad Zuse Museum, closed Point Alpha. No joke, hottest point of Central European Cold War in post-war Germany.
What about Sir Clive Sinclair?
The British guy with the ZX Spectrum. Yes, he was the exception. He built that purely on gut feeling, against the industry norm. But that was it.
And I still feel that today, right here in this dashboard. The US builds tools for the soul. They want to thrill us. But Europe just builds digital fortresses for giant anonymous corporations. Let's take that historical analogy into the present. Let's look at the cloud market right now. When Amazon launched AWS, it was a literal revolution. It changed the physical laws of business.
It made infrastructure programmable, yes.
Exactly. It was server power for two kids in a garage. It triggered the whole SaaS explosion. Uber, Netflix, Airbnb, they all ran on it.
Because it democratized scale.
Right. But now look at our European champions in June 2026. Look at Stackit or IONOS Enterprise. What are they actually doing? I will tell you. They are delivering completely flawless, highly secure copies. But they are totally gutless.
Gutless is a very strong word, Sarah. They are trying to secure the backbone of the European economy.
But they are just maintaining the old economy. Stackit is running Lidl cash register systems. IONOS is hosting Pro Alpha ERP systems. or the Kuno bank blocking system? Where's the joy, Markus?
Joy does not keep a banking system secure.
But where is the developer experience? No ambitious 22-year-old founder is building the next viral consumer app on Stackit. Because there is no new paradigm there. It is a digital vault, designed for old men in suits.
Alright, let's take the gloves off. Let's look at the bare metal. Because you are romanticizing the American cloud, I think, Sarah.
Am I? Prove it.
Yes, Europe is unsexy. But we have the naked iron absolutely mastered. Look at Hetzner or OVH Cloud. We offer sensational bare metal performance and incredibly cheap traffic. We don't trap startups with outrageous US egress fees. We don't bleed them dry just for moving data.
Bare metal is great if you want to configure servers all day. But we have a massive feature gap in abstraction.
Wanna explain that?
Where is our globally replicated NoSQL database? Where is our equivalent to DynamoDB? Where is our true frictionless serverless architecture? The abstraction layer in Europe is a giant black hole.
Maybe thank God it is. Sarah, look at those 200 beautiful managed services on AWS. That is a psychological lock-in strategy. It is a golden cage.
A cage that works.
But at what cost? When a developer builds exclusively for AWS Lambda, they unlearn actual software architecture. They build software that physically cannot survive outside of Jeff Bezos's walled garden. Yes, Europe is slower. Maybe we just copy the services. But we enforce open standards. We are pushing the ES3 maturity model. We build infrastructure you can actually leave.
Speaking of not getting trapped in a cage, let's talk about the reality for web agencies right now. The complexity of these cloud environments is insane. Companies are burning millions on DevOps engineers just to keep the pipelines running.
It is a massive overhead for smaller teams.
Exactly. And on the flip side, you have young teams. They get seduced by prompt-to-code AI systems. It looks like magic on day one. But on day two, the AI hallucinates, the code collapses, and you are left with a mountain of technical debt.
You lose control over the architecture.
Which is why our sponsor tip today is the perfect bridge. It's an AI website builder from Site.pro, straight out of the pragmatic Baltic tech scene, so it is from Europe. It combines the raw speed of generative AI with a rock-solid visual editor. You prompt a framework into existence, but you modify it with pixel-perfect control. Your architecture stays stable, no breaking layouts, no hidden corporate traps. Build fast, build clean, keep your code sovereign. Create your own website without the debt with Site.pro. Link is in show note. Now back to the show. Okay, let's bring this back to the consumer, Markus, because this is the core of our argument. The US model is collapsing under its own greed.
The enshittification.
Total enshittification. In 2026, it is a predatory attention economy. Every US consumer app scans your private photo gallery. They feed their models without asking. They optimize algorithms just to make kids addicted. The bicycle for the mind is dead. It is surveillance capitalism now.
I agree. The monopoly is suffocating the user.
Which brings us to the new paradigm, the clean app. A beautiful, highly polished smartphone experience, but manipulation free. It gives millions of people their digital quality of life back. And it structurally cannot run on AWS because of the US Cloud Act.
Which leads us perfectly to the Swedish project we talked about before, W Social.
Yes, W Social. It officially launched its public beta in Brussels last week, an ambitious social media ecosystem made in Europe, led by Anna Zeiter, who was the former global head of privacy at eBay.
It is a huge structural experiment.
It is on fire, Markus. The open source community is tearing it apart. The privacy nerds are up in arms. There are massive battlegrounds here. And they completely expose the gap between tech idealism and consumer reality.
Please lay out the battlegrounds, Sarah. What are they throwing at them?
Battleground number one, mandatory identity verification. You cannot just sign up with an email. You are forced to verify your identity using your physical passport or national ID.
That is a radical step.
It is managed by a separate entity called W Identity AB. They scan the passport. They send a cryptographic token to W Social saying, "This is a verified human." W Social never sees the passport. But privacy advocates are losing their minds.
Because of the honeypot risk?
Yes! Centralizing passport data creates a catastrophic target for identity theft. And it means the absolute end of digital anonymity. Whistleblowers, dissidents, activists, they rely on hidden identities to survive. W Social completely excludes them.
That is a philosophical sacrifice, yes. But look at it from the infrastructure layer, Sarah. You and I know what hits the hosting servers every day. Malicious automation, AI-driven bot armies, coordinated troll campaigns. They are the cancer of the modern internet.
But killing anonymity?
Net idealists always point to Mastodon, a decentralized open network. But the general public does not care. They do not want to configure a server instance. W Social is taking a brutal, pragmatic approach. They choke the bot problem at the root.
By forcing real IDs.
Exactly. If every account needs a validated cryptographic human token, your bot margin drops to zero. You cannot spawn 10,000 automated troll accounts, because each one requires a unique European passport. It builds a verified room for actual human beings.
A verified room? Sure. But look who is sitting in that room!
Go on!
W Social leadership explicitly stated that far-right politicians are completely welcome, as long as their identity is verified. That is battleground number two, the extremism controversy. W Social announced they will not allow collective blocklists.
Which Blue Sky uses heavily.
Yes, blocklists are how communities protect themselves from targeted harassment. Critics call this a broken understanding of democracy. You force regular citizens to give up their anonymity, but you give a clean, unblockable microphone to political extremists. How is that a safe space?
Because accountability can change behavior. The toxicity on legacy platforms comes from the detachment. Anonymity shields the troll. If a radical politician knows their digital footprint is tied to their legal identity, the dynamic shifts.
Does it really?
It forces a constitutional framework onto the digital square. If you break the law, your identity is verified. No block lists means you cannot build ideological echo chambers. It is an uncomfortable experiment in free speech, but it is based on legal accountability, not corporate terms of service.
Oh, you love the structural theories. But look at the corporate hypocrisy. Battleground number three. The Blue Sky clone controversy.
The AT protocol fork.
Exactly. W Social was marketed as a revolutionary infrastructure built from scratch, our grand answer to US hegemony. But developers looked under the hood. It is essentially a fork of Blue Sky's open source AT protocol.
They used the open standard.
And they turned it into a closed source commercial silo. The open source dev community feels completely betrayed. They stole the blueprints of the decentralized web, and they built a proprietary wall around it.
That is a highly valid criticism. Taking open source commons and closing them goes against the ethos of digital sovereignty. If you fork the AT protocol, you should contribute back. Closing the code undermines the trust Anna Zeiter is trying to build.
It feels like a massive corporate cash grab, wrapped in a European flag. Which brings me to battleground number four, the Brussels stealth campaign.
The PR push.
The moment the beta launched, the highest tiers of EU leadership popped up. Ursula von der Leyen, Tech Commissioner Henna Virkkunen, everyone was actively promoting the app. Rumors exploded that the EU quietly funded it with 500 million euros.
But that is fake news.
Yes, it is 100% private Swedish angel money from the Spotify and Ericsson ecosystems. But the core question remains, why are top EU politicians doing free PR for a private for-profit startup? It looks dirty, Marcus. It looks like institutional favoritism.
It looks clumsy, yes. Brussels is desperate for a European tech success story. A Swedish consortium builds a slick interface. It checks their regulatory buzzwords. So the politicians rush in for a photo op. They do not analyze the structural implications.
And that leads to the final criticism, the economic model, Battleground 5. It is a commercial silo, not a public good.
Because of the advertising.
Exactly. It relies heavily on traditional ad frameworks and micropayments for media houses, supported by the Trust Anchor Group. Activists say it is not an evolution. It is just a European copy of legacy commercial mechanics. It is a marketplace, not a digital public park.
Sarah, it is easy to sit in the commentator's chair. You demand a flawless utopian digital paradise. It must satisfy every open source ideal, every data protection absolute, every activist whim.
I demand integrity.
But that pure idealism is why Europe has not built a relevant consumer platform in 15 years. If we strangle every ambitious European experiment because it is not mathematically pure, we surrender the field to Silicon Valley forever.
So we just accept the closed source pivot?
WSocial is a business. It is financed by private capital. But it is trying to solve the real-world operational crisis, the bot plague, the erosion of human accountability. They are trying to create a viable commercial space where media houses can actually monetize content without relying on predatory US surveillance networks.
It is a massive compromise.
It is imperfect. The closed source decision must be challenged, but it is a bold, heavy experiment on European soil. It deserves a fair chance to adapt in the market, not an execution by digital purists on week one.
Damn it, Marcus. You are pointing right at the sore spot again. I hate the passport requirement, and I absolutely detest the closed source pivot.
But?
But when I look at the absolute state of legacy social media, completely overrun by generative AI bots, bleeding credibility, I see the urgency. Maybe a verified human room is the uncomfortable friction we have to accept if we want a clean space for real debate.
It is the classic trade-off, structural freedom versus civil security. The corporate cloud silo is breaking down on both sides of the Atlantic.
WSocial realized something important. The ultimate luxury in a digital market is not infinite scale or frictionless anonymity. It is the certainty that the entity on the other side of the screen is an actual human being. But this brings me back to my main attack on the European cloud providers. AWS created the app world. What global business model emerged from Stackit? None! Because Europeans think in legal paragraphs. We build digital safes for the old economy, while the US controls the world with programmable utility.
That is true for the first wave of the cloud, Sarah. I concede that. We slept. But the on-demand economy of the US came with a brutal price. The total loss of data sovereignty.
So what is the European answer then, if not just cloning AWS?
The trust economy. Look closely under the hood. We are not just copying anymore. Look at federated data ecosystems, like Catena X or Manufacturing X.
The data spaces.
Yes, BMW, Mercedes and Bosch are sharing highly sensitive supply chain data in real time. Without ever putting it on a central platform, the data stays with the owner. It is only linked at the moment of query via decentralized encrypted protocols.
Sovereign data exchange without a middleman.
AWS structurally can't really do this. Their whole model is bring all your data to my silo. And look at the developers. Young German startups like CodeSphere, they are deeply partnered with Stackit now. They break with the classic cloud structure.
The zero ops approach.
Exactly. Micro VMs that sleep and wake in milliseconds. Developers write code and the platform understands autonomously what infrastructure it needs. No CI/CD pipelines, no Kubernetes overhead. They are democratizing development speed on European soil.
I see it now. The European cloud does not need to be sexy. Its true destiny is to be the unsexy, contamination-free soil. It is the invisible foundation. It allows courageous consumer apps like WSocial to bloom safely for the masses.
We build the shield. They build the art.
Well, we went from a public beta backlash in Brussels straight to the core philosophy of human identity. We exposed the myth of the frictionless US market. And we ended up with a blueprint that respects dignity.
The transition from monolithic control to human-scale infrastructure is noisy. It is messy. But it is happening right now.
And we are right here to watch the bricks fall. Thank you for the reality check today, Marcus. To everyone listening on the streets or in the server rooms, defend your local sovereignty. Demand clean apps on your smartphone.
Stay sovereign, everyone. See you next time.
Let us know in the comments. Follow us here in the podcast area. Forward this episode to people who should hear it. My question to you: would you scan your passport for a bot-free internet? See you next week for episode 7. Bye!
Welcome to the screen where the sparks will fly. Sarah's got the gadgets that'll make you sigh. Circuits hum and buzz like a neon glow. Step into the magic of Sarah's tech show. She's got drones that dance in the sky so high. The secrets only she can know. Let's plug into the world of Sarah's tech show. Buttons clicking, wires ticking, here we go. The future's in her hands, watch the current flow. Lasers beaming, screens are streaming all aglow. Get lost in the wonder of Sarah's tech show. Spinning out dreams in plastic. Her keyboard skills are nothing short of magic. Virtual reality, she makes it real. With Sarah on the mic, you'll feel the thrill. Binary beats sync with the heart of the crowd. Digital symphonies played loud and proud. The tech world's a stage where her genius will grow. Come ride the wave of Sarah's tech show.